This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Jay Hanselman filling in today for Michael Monks. Hearing aids can be a substantial out-of-pocket expense, as mothers Karen Klugo and Monica Schneider found when their children needed the devices. Klugo's health insurance didn't cover any of the cost of her 18-month-old daughter's hearing aids or oral rehabilitation. Schneider's policy only covered $500 of her son's expenses. Both mothers were able to afford the hearing aids and the multiple audiologist visits over the years to ensure their children had the best chance at healthy hearing and language development. But they worried about families who may not be in a position to pay. They have met with several Ohio lawmakers who are sponsoring House Bill 243, the legislation known as the Right to Hear Bill that would require private health insurance plans to cover hearing aids and related services for children up to age 22. Coming up later this hour, a Xavier University history professor about how embracing the ideals of our nation's founders can help us lead more meaningful lives. First, joining us to discuss the Right to Hear legislation, our WCPO reporter Lucy May, mothers Karen Klugo and Monica Schneider, and Cincinnati Children's Hospital Division of Audiology Clinical Director Ian Windmill. You're invited to join our conversation. If you have a question or comment, the number is 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org or also post on Facebook or Twitter. Again, if you have a question that you'd like to call in, 513-419-7100. Thank you all for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Monica, let's start with you. Tell us about your son, Harrison. He was a little bit older when you found out that he needed a hearing aid.
Yes, he was. So Harrison was born with Down syndrome, and kids with Down syndrome have a lot of hearing and hearing issues, along with some other issues that listeners may or may not be aware of. But one of them is that because of their smaller anatomy, fluid can get stuck in their ear. And so when he was about 5 years old, he developed a hole in his eardrum that led to hearing loss. And that meant that we needed to get him some hearing aids. So we thought, okay, let's go ahead and get those hearing aids. We want him to be able to hear. He already has issues with speech production, and so hearing is an important part of speech production. And when we went to get those hearing aids, we found out that they weren't covered. And so we were spending upwards of $5,000 out of pocket that year. And of course, that has to be put in the context of our other expenses. So we regularly meet our $6,000 out of pocket maximum for our son, just for things like speech therapy and ENT appointments, GI, endocrinology. So this is on top of what we were paying for all of his other needs.
And you had no idea that these weren't covered. You had the $500, I believe, that was covered. But you didn't know that until you started through the process?
Correct. We had no idea. And so after that, I thought, why isn't this covered? And how can we go about helping other families? This is an issue in the Down syndrome community. Our kids are more susceptible to hearing loss. And I do have friends in the Down syndrome community who would have a hard time affording these kinds of expenses. And again, this is an expense that comes to my son at no fault to him. There was nothing we could do to prevent his hearing loss, but we need to correct it in order for him to be a productive taxpaying member of society.
And how is he doing now?
He's doing great. He doesn't always like wearing his hearing aids, but when he does wear them, we definitely notice an improvement in his speech and in his communication with us.
And Karen, let's talk about your daughter, Alexis. Now, she was much younger when you found out about the hearing aids.
Actually, we found out when she was a newborn. So in 2002, Ohio passed the Universal Newborn Hearing Screening Program, and she was screened like every other baby born in the hospital. She was born in 2006, and she failed the test, and we followed up with audiology as we were instructed. And she had a second test, and she also failed that. And so at about 8 weeks, they informed us that she had hearing loss, that it was moderate, and that she could be monitored. It became somewhat progressive, and so at 18 months, they recommended that she be fitted with hearing aids. So we went through the process at audiology at Children's Hospital, and it was submitted to the insurance, and the coverage was denied, much to my surprise. So since it isn't a covered service, not only do they not pay for it, but it doesn't get applied to the deductible. So it's completely out of pocket. I believe her first pair of hearing aids cost about $4,000. And that doesn't include the visits that we took, the hearing aid fittings, the ear molds, the visit to the audiologist, and then the other ancillary services that went along with the hearing loss.
And again, you had no idea that this wasn't covered until it was rejected by insurance?
Correct. It was completely to my surprise. I'm a physician. I'm an ophthalmologist. Patients come to see me, and their eye care is covered. It seemed to me that it would be natural that that hearing loss was a medical issue that should be covered by insurance, and it was shocking. It was shocking to me. I also have another child who is 3 years younger, and he also has hearing loss as well. It happens to be more severe than my daughter, so we knew what was coming. I actually was tested before he was born through an amniocentesis, and they both have a genetic reason for their hearing. It's called Connexin 26. And so none of their services throughout their lifetime, he's now 10 and she's 13, have been covered through our insurance plans.
And how is your daughter doing now?
So my kids are great. She's an eighth grader, and my son's going into fifth grade. Without their hearing aids, they would be nowhere near successful. For how they're doing today, they have wonderful teachers. They're in the Sycamore schools, and they use an FM system. They use their hearing aids every waking moment, and they're doing amazing.
Lucy, let's switch now to the House bill that these two folks have been lobbying lawmakers about. We'll talk about that too. But just break down what House Bill 243, what would it do?
It would cover, and please, Karen, you all jump in if I get any of this wrong, but it would cover children, so I think up to age 21, and it would cover expenses for hearing aids up to $2,500 per ear for $5,000 total every 48 months. So it's not a perfect solution. It goes a long way to helping parents who have kids who have this need. But hearing aids, as these moms educated me, can often be more expensive than that. And often you need to buy new hearing aids more frequently for children than every 4 years. So it's a big step in the right direction as advocates of the legislation see it, but it's not perfect by any means.
What do supporting lawmakers say about the legislation?
The lawmaker I talked to described it as just a basic fundamental right that kids should have. If you want kids to be productive members of society, if you want them to learn, how can you deny them good hearing? And, Karen told me a really compelling story when her daughter was little and they were at an audiology appointment, and another little girl who was waiting only had one hearing aid, and her daughter asked about why that was.
She called it her magic ear.
Her magic ear, yeah. Why do you only have one magic ear? And the other little girl in the waiting room said, my parents can't afford to. So it's kind of heartbreaking when you think about the amount of expense it is. Both these families were able to afford what their children needed, which is terrific. But I write a lot about families who are struggling to make ends meet, and to get a curveball like this to come out of nowhere and not have it covered. It's a huge expense and a huge sacrifice.
Yeah. Go ahead, Karen.
So, as Lucy mentioned, that story was very eye-opening to us. And as I thought more about the children that weren't able, whose parents weren't able to provide hearing aids for them, the more I really wanted to do something about this. It's been a goal for a long time. They're working on legislation in California as well, and I just spoke to one of the women that's a champion for the bill there, and she was telling me stories that families are actually quitting their jobs so that they can go on Medicaid so that their hearing aids are covered for their children.
And
it's just heartbreaking.
And that was, Lucy, I think that was one of the things when you were talking about the state representative that you were talking to, he pointed out that these are covered by Medicare and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Medicaid. It's covered. Yeah. Medicaid.
Just Medicaid.
Right. So for the very lowest income people whose children are insured through that program, they can get what they need. But there are all sorts of working families who are kind of stuck in this middle where they aren't on Medicaid, but they also don't have they don't have the resources to pay for these expenses out of pocket.
And what about this is actually covered in other states?
Yes, I believe I think there are 23 other states that cover this to some degree, including Kentucky. The legislation from state to state varies a little bit. But this would Ohio, if this passes, would become, I believe, the 24th state in the nation.
Yes, go ahead.
What I like about this bill is that it's really been supported in states north to south, east to west. So in Nebraska, it just passed unanimously. And even here in Ohio, it's been a bipartisan effort. There have been Democrats that have sponsored the bill, but Republicans also coming out as co-sponsors of the bill. Governor DeWine has reacted positively to the bill. So I think it's important that there is some agreement, and that is really heartwarming to me as a citizen. That doesn't mean we don't have a long way to go in order to get this passed, but it is encouraging that it's been a bipartisan effort so far.
When you both have talked to lawmakers, I assume, do you go together? Do you go separate? And what do you tell them when you meet with them? Karen, why don't you go first?
So we first traveled to Columbus. We were invited to an interested parties meeting to discuss the bill and help with input for the language of the bill, because we feel like we're representing other families that can't afford or can't necessarily speak for themselves. And so the bill was introduced by Casey Weinstein, who is a Democrat in Hudson, and Allison Russo in Upper Arlington in Columbus. And they listened to us wholeheartedly and responded to our comments. The bill is currently written for $2,500 per year every 48 months, and I believe is to include ancillary services associated with hearing loss. This would greatly benefit families who need this.
And at least, and I glanced at it real quickly, at the top of the legislation, it had some names, and I think there was at least one local name that I recognize, like maybe Representative Catherine Ingram?
Yes, Catherine Ingram is a co-sponsor of the bill. Jessica Miranda has been supportive of the bill. And there are other lawmakers that are local that I would encourage listeners to contact if they are interested in getting this bill passed.
Absolutely.
What you talk about the positive energy. Where does the legislation stand?
So right now it's been assigned to the Health Committee, and it hasn't been scheduled for a first hearing yet. So I think everyone might know that the lawmakers have been quite busy with the budget. And when we come back from recess, we're hoping that it will be scheduled by the chairman of the Health Committee for a first hearing and then a second hearing, and then keep going and moving through the process.
We are discussing Right to Hear legislation, and we're going to continue our conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Jay Hanselman filling in today for Michael Monks. We're going to continue our conversation about Right to Hear legislation. My guests are WCPO reporter Lucy May, mothers Karen Klugo and Monica Schneider, and Cincinnati Children's Hospital Division of Audiology Clinical Director Ian Windmill. You can join the conversation. The number is 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at WVXU.org or post on Facebook or Twitter. And Dr. Windmill, we don't want to exclude you from the conversation. We were talking about Karen's daughter was talking about the magic ear, and in the waiting room that the little girl said, well, you only have one magic ear. Is this an issue that you see a lot in your practice?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's one of the most common problems that we have is once we've identified a child with hearing loss, getting them the treatment, as it were, the hearing aids. In particular, many families struggle with the cost. Karen mentioned her daughter uses an FM system, which can be a special attachment to hearing aids that they can use in school and places like that. Those aren't covered either. So the challenges aren't just for the devices, but for all the other services. Interestingly, as you get to severe hearing loss and you're eligible for cochlear implants, those are covered services again. So kind of children that have mild, moderate hearing loss that can be corrected by hearing aids really fall into a gap of coverage for insurance.
Obviously, the two moms that we have here, they were able to make this work, to pay for the hearing aids out of pocket. How do your other parents handle this? How do they navigate this?
With a lot of trepidation, a lot of concern. So there are different ways to get coverage or get payment or get assistance. Certainly, Medicaid was mentioned, does provide coverage for devices and the services. And a number of, you know, kind of funds have been set up to help support parents or to do things. Even some of the hearing aid companies themselves will offer some discounts at times. So there are a lot of different mechanisms. And as you kind of go through the process, you can tap into those. Now, that being said, that tends to be more at a place like Cincinnati Children's or at Nationwide or those types of places. If you're getting these devices at places in town or in other types of locations, they may not have access to those kinds of funds and support mechanisms that all parents have. And that's part of the education process that we have to do is to help people get to those places at the right time.
Talk about the historic cost of hearing aids. I know a lot of times when things, you know, as technology evolves, things sometimes will get cheaper, sometimes things will get more expensive. So how does that apply to hearing aids?
It's interesting. That's a very interesting question. Some people do view hearing aids as more of a consumer electronic, and other people view it as a medical device, and it gets caught between those two systems. In general, hearing aids have gone up in price over time as the technology has improved, and they are magical devices. They do really, really well, but it comes at a price, and unfortunately, when you look at in the scope of prices for hearing aids, there are some fairly inexpensive ones, and there are ones that are very expensive. And I'm just talking about kind of the market expense of them. Generally speaking, like an automobile, they'll do more. The higher the price, they can do more. And for children, what's important is that we get into those higher technology areas so that they can access sound. The whole point of hearing aids, these devices, is access to sound. Like the Americans with Disabilities Act says, access to transportation or buildings, we want to provide access to sound. And the only way to do that is with devices of some sort right now. So, and in order to assure that's appropriate access to sound, you know, we tend to think about the higher levels of technology, then they have a price tag with them. The unfortunate thing in the marketplace out there is there are horror stories of devices costing $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 for a set of devices. And that's part of the reason that the Congress recently passed over-the-counter legislation where people will be able to buy hearing aids over-the-counter, although it does exclude individuals under 18 years of age.
Go ahead, Karen.
Children need hearing aids in order to be able to learn, and those with moderate to severe hearing loss would not be able to hear their teachers. My younger child, who has severe hearing loss, can't hear the alarm clock, can't hear the fire alarm, can't hear me having a conversation with him as close as we're sitting. And so without his hearing aids, he wouldn't be able to learn anything. And with his hearing aids, he is extremely bright and excels in school. And without this opportunity, he would be way behind. If I wasn't on top of things, he would not have the language development that he has and his excellent math skills, both of my children. And so it's not a question of whether or not this is a medical device in a child. This is a must-have to be able to learn. They wouldn't be able to excel in the things that they do. As a matter of fact, they'd fall way behind in their cognitive and language development, and this is a must-have for every child in this country, in the world.
Monica?
I also just wanted to speak to some of the more expensive devices and what you get with that. So I always like to joke that it's, you know, not my dad trying to hear my mom yelling at him, right? So for my son, what you get with the more expensive device is the ability for him to hear a conversation versus hearing the sound of other children talking in the background, or for him to hear his teacher as opposed to hearing the heating vent that turns on in the middle of the class that's right next door to him. So some of the features that those more expensive devices get devices get you are ones that are really important for him to distinguish the crucial sounds from the not so crucial sounds. And that becomes even more important for him because of his developmental delays.
Do you, with both of your kids, do you ask them to be especially careful with these devices so that, you know, with kids will be kids, things can get broken, things can get lost, and if you have a device that's costing $4,000 or $5,000, you know, you want to make sure that it's taken care of, which can be difficult with kids.
And both of my children have understood from a very young age that these are extremely important and they're expensive, and we don't want to replace them if we don't have to because we have no coverage for them. So things do happen, and even though they're extremely responsible, they've been in the washing machine. They've fallen off a ride at Kings Island. They have, my younger child pushed my older child into the pool the other day, not too long ago, and they went into the swimming pool and they can't get wet. So as you say, kids will be kids. And even as responsible as they are, we've had all kinds of mishaps because they're children. So, you know, things do happen. And even with this every 48 months, there are things that are going to happen with their hearing aids.
The one thing that popped in my mind when we were sitting here talking about this, I know sometimes when we hear about prescription drugs that they cost a lot in the United States, but if you go to other places, Canada, Mexico, they're cheaper. Does that apply to things like hearing aids, or is that the market's the same no matter where you are? There's not a markup, per se, like on prescription drugs?
It's pretty universal, but in other countries, especially with single-payer systems, their hearing aids are generally covered. So Scandinavia, Denmark, England, they're all part of the health service, so they are covered in that regard. One of the kind of problems with hearing aids in the U.S. is that historically the device cost and the ancillary services cost are often been bundled together. That's particularly true in the adult world. And so you get this kind of vision that the devices are $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000. And it's true for children a lot too. The actual devices can be a lot less, but when you start putting all the services, and there's really a big trend to uncouple all those things. So there's kind of more of a pay-as-you-go type of process. So people, it's transparent for one thing, and then parents can see it for another.
Karen, quickly.
So as Ian was discussing the ancillary services, we go for a hearing aid check at least once a year, usually before school, and those costs have been increasing every year. The last bill that we got was for $700 per child, and that was to just get new ear molds and have the hearing aids reprogrammed, not forgetting new hearing aids at all. So with two children, that was $1,400 that, again, was not covered or applied to any deductible.
We're down to about a minute left. A couple things I want to get in here. Lucy, not everyone is on board with this legislation, especially the National Federation of Independent Business.
Yes, I talked to a representative of the organization. He raised some points saying that this legislation wouldn't cover all plans. So government organizations or companies that are self-insured would not have to cover this under this bill. He argued that would leave a gap in coverage where some kids have access to this and some don't, although I think people would argue that's what we have now. And his other point was there are studies underway to figure out kind of the cost per child that this would add to insurance bills, the premiums, which is very low. And his argument was, well, if it's so low, then the state should find money to cover everybody, all the kids. So yeah, those were kind of some of his arguments, although there doesn't seem to be a huge campaign against this right now.
We've been talking about right to hear legislation. My guests were WCPO reporter Lucy May, mothers Karen Klugo and Monica Schneider, and Cincinnati Children's Hospital Division of Audiology Clinical Director Ian Windmill. Coming up, how embracing the ideals of our nation's founders can help us lead more meaningful lives. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.